Again, to be here with you. We've met a lot of you, or some of you, in Sunday school. And so a lot of what you'll hear is I'll briefly touch over what we talked about in Sunday school. But again, before we get started, I do want to make sure that everyone has a prayer card and a faith promise card. And if you don't have those, please raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Oh, Megan will do it. I think everyone good to have us. Second thing, we do want to present Brother Rodney with some, Brother Rodney's wife, with some Hawaiian chocolate. So these are Hawaiian chocolates. It has coconut in them. So I hope you like
Man,
them.
Yeah.
So they
much.
Are. They
thank
are.
Thank you so much.
They
I
taste
know
amazing.
What I need to do now.
So. Again, we are just, you know, thrilled, really thrilled, to be with you and to just even have the opportunity, to share. It means a lot to us. And so what we'll do, this service is I'll briefly touch, about Hawaii and what we're planning to do and about our family. And then, I'll get into the sermon. Today we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Verses 11 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. And so for those who were not here during Sunday school, my name is Chris Davenport, and I graduated from Welch College with a bachelor's in general Christian ministries and a strong emphasis in missions. We are from Nashville, Tennessee. And we attend the Donaldson Fellowship of Free Will Baptist Church. We were ordained and commissioned and married in that church. And our daughter, Lily James, was dedicated in that church. That's just our home church, our ascending church. And we love them a lot. And my beautiful wife, Megan, which you'll hear her sing in just a bit, is an amazing wife. She graduated from Tennessee State University with a nursing degree, and God is just going to use her in so many ways, which is what I talked about in Sunday school, teaching and nursing and mentoring and discipling others. We both have mentors and disciples in our lives, and we just love that. And we have a daughter, and her name is Lily James, middle name is named after her dad, and a first name comes from the Bible in Matthew 6. And together we're all going to Hawaii to plant a church there, and we want to witness to the Mormon community that's there, and also the 98% of the people that don't know Christ. Also, a lot of people don't know it's the number one state of homeless needs or homelessness. So there's a huge homeless need that is in that community. And I think most of you heard me share about that this morning. But again, we are, again, glad to just be here with you and excited to share. And so what we'll do, though, is we'll show this video that we have prepared for you. And then Megan will come and sing. So we want to ask you again to partner with us in two ways. The first way is through prayer. Pray for us as we're traveling on the road, and pray for Lily James as, again, she doesn't like her car seat, and pray for the 98% of the people that don't know Christ that are there, and pray for the homeless needs that are there, and just pray for us as we're raising support. But then I also want to ask you to partner with us in financial giving. We have $1,000 monthly left to raise. And so we are almost there, and we are just chugging along, and God is just faithfully providing, and He is providing through people. We want to ask you, please do not take these home with you, that this is something for you to fill out here and today. Even if you were just going to pray for us, we would still love you to fill it out. But if you're going to partner with us financially, please fill this out and put our names. The Davenports and Team Hawaii will go at the top of that. And please write neat so we're able to see it as well. But again, we are thankful that you have just invited us and thankful to be able to share with you. This morning, again, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. This is one of my favorite passages and a great reminder on why we should share the gospel. We know that it's a command, that Christ gives us this command to share. But outside of this command, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21, he gives us three reasons on why we should share the gospel. And if you are a note taker in this room, I would like to go ahead and give you those reasons that Paul gives us. The first reason on why we should share the gospel is because we fear the Lord. The first reason on why we should share the gospel is because we fear the Lord. The second reason on why we should share the gospel is because it is Christ's love that compels us. The second reason that we should share the gospel is because it is Christ's love that compels us. The third reason we should share the gospel is because we are ambassadors for Christ. We should share the gospel because we are ambassadors for Christ. Let's read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. It says this: "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest into your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. And though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Father God, again, I just want to thank you for this word. Thank you for your guidance and wisdom. Lord, I pray that we are daily reading and daily growing in you. There are a lot of places that are in this world that are not allowed to even have this book that we call the Bible. And here we can freely read it in America. And so, Lord, I pray that we don't take that for granted. That we are just daily submerging ourselves into your word. Lord, I pray that we are able to share your gospel. Lord, that you just give us this boldness to share. That even when we're scared and we're timid, that we are just reminded of just how amazing and the great things that you continue to do for us. Lord, remind us this morning that there are people that are in this community that are hopeless, that don't have joy and don't have love and don't have peace. Remind us of how much that they need the gospel, that the gospel is urgent. And Lord, I pray that this morning that you speak through me as you always do. And that you give me the right guidance and wisdom and the right things to say. God, so thank you for dying on the cross. And thank you for everything that you do for us. It is in your name we pray. Amen. So Paul here, he gives us these three reasons on why we should share the gospel. And the first reason we'll find in verse 11. He says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Why do we persuade men? Because we know the terror of the Lord, or we know what it means to fear the Lord. Where there may be some people in this room today that may not know what it truly means to fear the Lord. And so maybe you're asking yourself, you know, what is it? What does it really mean in fearing the Lord? Well, what's so amazing about this passage here, in verse 10, he gives us that reason on why we should fear the Lord. And he says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If you are a Christian in this room, if you're a believer or a follower of Christ in this room, I want you to know that there is one day that you will still have to meet at the judgment seat of Christ and be accountable for your actions, good or bad, in the body. And because of this, we fear the Lord. There's one day you still have to meet in front of the judgment seat of Christ. And so during that time, if Christ was to ask you, why didn't you share the gospel? And your answer was, because I was nervous and timid, that would not be good. Or if he was to say, why didn't you pray for the widows? Or why didn't you give to the poor? And not having an answer would not be good. But church, I also want you to know that this judgment seat of Christ is an amazing thing. This is a great thing. We get to meet in front of our King of Kings, our magnificent and glorious and wonderful and all-knowing. We get to meet in front of him at this judgment seat of Christ. The reason why this is good is because only Christians will be at this judgment seat of Christ. That means it doesn't determine our salvation. That we are faithfully rewarded on how we served Christ. Like how we followed the Great Commission. Or how victorious we are over sin. Or how well we control our tongues. This judgment seat of Christ is a great thing. And I truly can't wait for this day. Especially to what it leads to. In Revelation 21 verses 1 through 7, John writes this amazing passage of what he sees. And I am so excited for this day because of what it leads to. And he says this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen to this. And he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that will overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. If you are a true believer in Christ, if you are a true follower of Christ, this day is an amazing day, and we truly can't wait for this day. I mean, no more tears. No more death, no more crying. If you truly love your neighbor as yourself, you would want them at this judgment seat of Christ. Because verse 8, there's going to be another judgment. Verse 8 says, But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. As a believer in this room, why would you want that for anyone?
Right.
Why would you want that for anyone? And so look, Paul is saying if we truly fear the Lord, not a type of fear that he can just strike you down at any moment, but this is a fear that you're just so in awe. You have so much reverence for God, this glorious God, the creation that he has made. If you truly fear him in that way, you would want other people to see God the way that you do. And you would want other people at this judgment seat of Christ. And so I think sometimes our minds are just focused on the wrong things, like having the greatest technology, or maybe having the greatest clothes, or maybe having the greatest cars or the greatest houses. Church, I'm not saying that those things are bad, but what I am saying is those things will fade away.
Right.
And your relationship with Christ will last forever. It will last forever. And there are people that are in your city that are dying hopeless. They don't know about this judgment seat of Christ. And they don't know about the second death. And don't know about this love that we have in Christ. And so we must share it. In Sunday school, I shared a little bit about Darius, our Hawaiian Mormon that we met in Nashville, Tennessee. And that we got to share with him and talk with him and lead him to Christ. And he was baptized at the Donaldson Fellowship of Free Will Baptist Church. And that was such a great joy. But church, if Megan and I did not fear the Lord, Darius would still be in that Mormon church today. And Darius would still have verse 8 coming for him. So it's so important, church, if you love your neighbors as yourself, it is so important to share the gospel. We have Easter coming up Sunday. What a great way to evangelize to your community. And what a great way to continue to go to these restaurants that you go to tell them about this Easter hunt, egg hunt that you're having on Saturday. What a great way to evangelize. Use that tool. To do that, we must share the gospel because we fear the Lord. But second, we share the gospel because it is Christ's love that compels us. In verse 14, it says this, For the love of Christ constraineth us. For the love of Christ compels us. Or for the love of Christ forces us to share the gospel. His love is so overflowing that it should be overflowing into other people's lives. Well, why? Because we are convinced that a beautiful and a magnificent Savior has died on a cross for us so that we can be back reconciled with the Father. Church, how cruel. How cruel is it if you're not sharing the gospel? Like, you know what happens to those that don't know Christ and haven't heard the gospel. Like, you know what happens to those people. How cruel it is for you not to tell them about this hope and this joy and this peace and this love that we get from him. I mean, let me put it to you this way. Lily James, my precious, beautiful daughter, Lily James, if she was playing in the middle of the street and there was a semi-truck that was coming her way and all of you saw her and you looked at her and you saw that semi-truck coming her way, and instead of saying, hey, Lily James, get out the street, or instead of snatching her out the street, you looked at her and then you walked the other way, and that semi-truck ran her completely over. That's like not sharing the gospel. Like, you know what happens to those people that don't know Christ. You know what happens to those people that we do not share the gospel to. And so how cruel it is for us not to share. Like, there are people that are, you don't have to be a pastor or some type of missionary. You don't have to go to Africa or Japan or Israel. You don't have to go to any of those places. You can share the gospel right here in your community. I think sometimes we forget how beautiful the gospel is. Like, how amazing the gospel is. That if we serve a God who is all-knowing, like a God that knows everything, he knew that we were going to be liars. He knew that we were going to be murderers. He knew that we were going to be depraved. He knew that we were going to be fallen. Isaiah calls it ruined. Like, he knew all of those things. And still, he came here to die on a cross for you and to be resurrected from the dead. So that means the cross that he died on, that was not plan B. That cross that he died on for you, that was plan A. He knew before this world was even created that he was going to die for you. He knew that he would have to become man, that God would have to become man for you. He knew that he would have to experience this, the worst type of torture that this world has ever seen. He knew that. Church, that's love. And there are people that are in your community that need to know this love. They need to know this hope. Every day, there are people that are here that are continuing to fill their void up with sinful things, with things that will continue to leave them empty. But the only person that can fill that void is Jesus. And so how cruel it is for us to keep that, to hold that just for ourselves. The third reason on why we should share the gospel is because we are ambassadors for Christ. I mean, I feel like there are some times that maybe Satan's like, man, you just don't know enough. Or maybe it's for you that you're just too nervous to share the gospel. But our third point says that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Meaning this, when you repent and you give your life to Christ, Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, literally lives and dwells inside of you. So it's not you that changes the hearts of others. It's not you that changes the minds of others. It's not you that saves the souls of others. You don't do any of that. Jesus does that. We don't take the credit for Darius. We didn't change Darius's mind. We didn't change Timothy's mind. We didn't change his heart. We didn't save his soul. Jesus did that. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ that liveth inside of me. Church, it's not you. Allow Christ to work in you and to use you. If you're a true Christian in this room, allow him to use you. I mean, Peter, before the Spirit, three times he denied Christ. Three times he said, I do not know this man. After the Spirit, he said, for we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Or what about what he said to the crippled beggar? silver or gold I do not have. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Peter didn't make him walk. It was Jesus that made him walk. And that same Holy Spirit that lived inside of Peter, and the same Holy Spirit that lived inside of Paul, and the same Holy Spirit that lived inside of all the disciples now live inside of us. So know this, it's not you, but it's God that's living and dwelling and has made a home inside of you that is changing others' lives. So allow Him to use you and guide you and give you wisdom. Allow Him to do those things. Don't just come to church and hear the message and then just go home and sit there and not do anything. But go out and follow the command that Jesus gives all believers. Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go. Megan and I, we started this life group for those who were not Christians. For those who were not really involved in church, they were nominal. They didn't really know Christ. And so we would start each lesson with our testimonies. We knew that testimonies were very important because of the Samaritan woman. There are a lot of people that came to know Christ just because of her testimony. And so what we would do is we would start off with our testimonies. And my best friend, Carson Outlaw, brought this guy from Kazakhstan, and he had a glove that looked just like this one. And he said, you know, we are like this glove here. And he said, my hand is like Jesus. He said, a glove without a hand literally does nothing. That it just sits there. That it doesn't do what it was created for. That it doesn't garden. That it's not sowing any seeds, that it's literally not doing anything. And he said, church, my hand is like Jesus. That when you repent and you give your life to Christ, that glove, that body that wasn't doing anything is now moving. It's now being guided. It's now being used. It's now planting seeds. It's now in the garden. There may be some of you this morning that is like this glove without a hand. Chapter 6, verse 2 tells us that today is the day of salvation. I want you to know that the harvest is ready. It's ready. For those who are Christians in this room, be like this glove with a hand and allow Christ to use you and to give you guidance and to give you wisdom. And through being nervous and through being timid, allow Him to use you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much again for this day and for your word. Lord, remind us daily to fear you. Lord, compel us to share your word. Remind us that we are your ambassadors. So God, I'm praying that you use us. Lord, next week is Easter. And this Saturday, there's an Easter egg hunt. Lord, I pray that at this moment, that if there are Christians that are in this room, that you would place on their minds people that don't know Christ. You'll place on their mind a face of someone that does not know Christ. And maybe it's that week that they are just constantly reaching out to that person that doesn't know you. Lord, and for those who are not Christians that are in this room, Lord, I pray that you would just move their heart. That they will become like this glove with a hand, Lord. And for next Sunday, I would like to pray for that service. That there will be people that will come to this Easter egg hunt that don't know you. And that we are just able to share the gospel and to invite them to church on Sunday. And that at church on Sunday, that their hearts will be moved to fear you and to give their lives to you, God. So Lord, again, thank you for the cross. And daily help us to be reminded of how amazing you are. It is in your name we pray. Amen.